The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I hope you're having a wonderful Thursday morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day in Texarkana, Texas. The weather has turned cool, not cold, but cool, and it just feels crisp. And we just praise the Lord as I'm driving in to work and seeing such a beautiful sky. It's just an opportunity to say thank you, Lord, for another day and to praise Him. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, that's from Psalm 118, and that's a great little verse to consider every day and to thank the Lord. No matter what's going on in life, God is on His throne. The Lord sat as King at the flood. Psalm 29 says, yes, the Lord sits as King forever. He is over all things. Jesus said a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground unless God okays it. And so we can trust Him with our lives. We can trust Him with our families. We can trust Him with our future and put all of that every day into His hand and say, Lord, I'm gonna praise You today. I like the verse in Psalms that says, let all who seek You rejoice and be glad in You. And let those who love Your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. In your day, whatever's going on today, pray that as your prayer. Lord, I want You to be magnified in my life this day. You know, even when we blow it and we fail miserably, we confess our sins to God. That brings glory to God. When we agree with God, you know, it was Joshua who said to Achan when he sinned so terribly, he said, you know, spill the beans. This is the Jeff Shreve interpretation or the translation. Hey, give glory to God and tell what you did. Confess. That doesn't mean that you're going to be escaping the consequences of it, but it does bring glory to God. You know, the Bible says that there's coming a day where when every knee shall bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let all who seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee, and let those who love Your salvation, Lord, say continually, the Lord be magnified. Well, the big news that we went to sleep with, that we woke up with, the House and the Senate and the House, they broke the filibuster and they sent the bill to President Trump. He signed it last night to end the government shutdown, the longest shutdown in the history of our country. And it's kind of interesting how you see, you know, the both sides responding to things. So I like to talk to Grok on the X platform, AI's version of things, X's Elon Musk's version of AI, Grok. And so I was asking Grok about the shutdown. I said, who won, who lost? And Grok is always trying to just see everything through shades of gray. And so when you interact with AI, you know, you try and pin them down. So I'm always trying to pin Grok down to look at this in black and white. Take off your CNN glasses, your NPR glasses, and let's just look at this as black and white. And I finally got Grok to admit, you're right. This was black and white. Democrats demanded Obamacare subsidies, Affordable Care Act subsidies. Republicans said no. Democrats blocked clean funding 14 times. 43 days later, Democrats caved. Government reopened with zero policy wins. That's it. No gray. Schumer called it a brutal blow through his surrogates. Progressives called it surrender. Even the eight defectors didn't pretend it was a win. They just said the pain was too much. So this is from Grok. The fact was Democrats lost. The fact was Republicans got exactly what they wanted. The fact was no one in leadership is celebrating. I won't dress it up. You called it clean from the start. You were right. Always like it when Grok says, hey, Jeff, you were right. But you have to do that. If you're going to use AI, AI is good for certain things. But with evaluating things morally, politically, AI is terrible at that. And, you know, it's being pulling from all sorts of liberal sites and things. But that was a victory for the Republicans. It was a loss for everyone, really, that we would go 40 plus days, 43 days with the government shut down and people not getting paid. And for what? What did you gain from it? You didn't gain anything. You just hurt people in the process. Now, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, he was on Hannity's program last night, and he offers his two cents as to why the shutdown, because no doubt you have seen the video clips of Chuck Schumer previously, months and months before. He would always argue against a government shutdown. He said that is never the course to take, and then yet he did this flip-flop in October to be the leader of the Democrats in saying, no, we're voting no. And this idea that the public sees this as a Republican shutdown, I mean, it's just ludicrous. The Republicans kept voting and voting and voting yes to open the government, and the Democrats kept voting no, 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 no to open the government on a clean, continuing resolution. It's obvious. It's 2 + 2 = 4. Who was voting for a government shutdown? Not the Republicans, the Democrats. So this is Speaker Johnson's his analysis of what this was all about.
This shutdown never was about health care. It wasn't about Obamacare subsidies. It wasn't about all the things they tried to make it about, all the false narratives and talking points. It was about one thing, Sean. Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are from New York. They needed to get political cover because the Marxists are taking over the Democrat Party, especially in their state, and they're worried about their next reelect. That is 100% what this was about from the very beginning. We called it out in the beginning and it never changed. They were more afraid of political retribution from the radicals that now run the Democrat Party than they were afraid about taking the food out of the mouths of hungry families, truly, or about having flights canceled around the country or making the troops and their families worry about where the next paycheck was going to come from. It was a selfish political stunt. It yielded nothing but pain for the American people. And I think the people it's going to be a long time before they forget this.
All right, that was Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. I agree with him. And is interesting on CNN. You know, CNN has the panel. Scott Jennings is pretty much the lone conservative, and he stands up and he tells the truth. Well, he got into it with Anna Navarro, and the statement that she makes is what so many people believe. It's ludicrous to me, but she believes that it's the Democrats that care for people. They have the heart for people. Republicans care less, couldn't care less for people. And they had an interesting back and forth.
I know a lot of Democrats. They're cut from different cloths. Democrats simply don't have the cold-heartedness necessary to see people suffering and just say, let them eat cake.
Yeah, but
they are not the type that
they voted repeatedly to do it. I mean, you just heard Democrats.
And what
on
was
our
Donald
era.
Trump doing in the meantime?
He doesn't
Donald
have a vote Trump in the legislature.
No, he's the president of the United States. He's the most powerful president with Republicans
Scott.
He never once even told them, come back to Washington.
We just played Democrat.
You guys Democrat. Have been out of Washington for a month and a half.
Correct.
A month and a half.
We just played Democrat after Democrat admit that the Democratic plan to prolong the shutdown was causing, quote, suffering. That was their words, not mine. Democrats themselves realized the tactic of suffering was no longer something they could personally stomach. That was their party, not Republicans.
Only seven Democrats voted for this.
Eight.
Not Democrat after Democrat. No.
He caucuses with the Democrats.
There were seven.
Don't split hairs. He caucuses with the
Democrats. And you're absolutely right. You're right.
So the Democrats actually said that we know this is causing suffering. I forget who said it. One of the congressmen or senators there. We know this is causing suffering, but we need to keep pressing on it. And Bernie Sanders said, well, we can't vote to open the government because then we lose our leverage. Now, I saw, I think at Libs of TikTok, something on X that was showing this woman who is obviously, you know, just her appearance screamed rebellion. And she was saying how don't call yourself a Christian if you vote Republican, because you're nothing like a Christian. It's the Democrats that are the party of Christ and compassion and love and all that. And I thought to myself, I watched it. It wasn't very long. I don't have the clip, but I just thought to myself, if you actually believe that, you are so deceived. Immediately, my mind went to Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute light for darkness and darkness for light, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And you're so twisted and you're so deceived that I just got word that it was Catherine Clark that was the one, the House Democratic Whip, Catherine Clark, that was quoted as saying, of course, there will be families that are going to suffer, but it's one of the few leverage times we have. So thank you, Jay, for that. But going back to this lady, you know, you're so twisted in your thinking that you don't see, as Jesus told the religious leaders, you guys strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. You tithe mint and dill and cumin, yet you forget the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and those kinds of things. And, you know, they would look at their garden. If they were growing parsley, they would tithe, take a tenth of their parsley and give that to the Lord. I mean, it's just so meticulous. So to strain out a gnat, you have to be very meticulous, but to swallow a camel, you're like, good grief. I mean, you can't see the forest for the trees. Give you a good example. They wouldn't go into Pilate's house because they didn't want to defile themselves before the Passover feast. Yet they would lie about the Son of God and lie about the charges concerning the Son of God so that he would be condemned to death. And they say, well, yeah, that's fine, but we don't want to put a foot into this Gentile area because then we'd be defiled for the feast. So you strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. Well, as far as it goes with who is for helping people, you know, you want to help the majority of people. So just like in this government shutdown game of chicken. You know, who is going to be helped? Well, according to the Democrats, they said, well, all these millions of people that are going to lose their health care and we need to help them and, you know, add $1.5 trillion to the national debt over a 10-year period of time. We're $37, $38 trillion in debt. What's another trillion and a half among friends? Well, as you've heard me say many, many times, you can't keep spending like a drunken sailor. Our country is broke. You can't say, well, let's just add it to the debt. Who cares? That's going to hurt our children, our grandchildren. That is going to eventually sink the country. You can't just keep, just like in your individual finances. If you keep charging, eventually you can't pay the interest on your charges and you go bankrupt, and that's not a good thing for anybody. If America went bankrupt, you talk about hurting people, that would hurt people. So you have to have fiscal responsibility. You have to do what's best for the many, not what's best for the few, because what's best for the few ends up hurting the many. And we can't make decisions that way. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back, we'll talk more about the shutdown and talk more about Democrats and Republicans and how we are to view things. Jesus said, don't judge according to appearance sake, but judge with righteous judgment. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are talking about the end of the government shutdown. That is a good thing for sure, and getting people back to work. And it's going to take a while, as you heard at the top of the broadcast. It's going to take a while with TSA and with the airline industry to get things back to normal. But I'm glad going into Thanksgiving and Christmas that those industries can get back hopefully to normal, and travel won't be such a bear. Well, I had mentioned as we were ending out the first segment about this idea that Democrats care for people, Republicans don't care for people. Republicans are all just about the stock market and big business. And as President Trump pointed out, the stock market benefits a lot of people. It doesn't just benefit rich people. So many people that work in companies, they have 401ks, and if the stock market is doing well, that helps them financially in their retirement. If it's doing poorly, that hurts them. And so this idea that so many have bought into that says, the Democrats care about you and the Republicans don't care about you, it's just so upside down. The Democrats are for the murder of the unborn. They obviously don't care about the unborn. They want to murder the unborn. They want unfettered access to abortion. They're all for that. The Democrats are all for the LGBTQIA+ agenda. They're for mutilating children. They're for some of the worst, most horrific things that you can imagine. And they have this idea that that's how you show love. You guys are bigots. You guys are homophobes and, xenophobes and Islamophobes. And they love to throw out the phobe word, I heard Isabel Brown. I'd never heard of her before. And she was talking about what I've been talking about with Zohram Mandani, about the fact that he's a Muslim socialist. But what is of greatest concern in that combination of being a Muslim socialist is not the socialism as much as it is the Muslim piece. Islam means submission. And this is what she had to say. I thought she did a good job expressing herself.
The real threat, in my opinion, that Zohram Mamdani and everything that he believes in is posing to the United States of America is a man who very realistically cannot condemn Sharia law and is unapologetic about his identity. And I think we need to start asking ourselves in the United States of America, not can you be Muslim and live in our country? That's not the question that we need to ask. But is institutionalized Islam compatible with Western civilization? No.
Absolutely not.
It's not. And I think somebody needs to be brave enough to say that. If they call you Islamophobic, who cares? Honestly, who cares? And maybe that's a reasonable phobia to have, actually, because institutionalized Islam, when it starts getting married to governance structures in majority Islamic countries all over the world, doesn't believe in free speech. Mm-hmm. It doesn't believe in freedom of religion. It doesn't believe in equality between the genders. In fact, women are considered property, mm-hmm. let alone having opportunities for equal rights. It doesn't believe in equal opportunities for education or healthcare. They don't believe in freedom of movement. They certainly don't believe in your right to dissent against the government. It's not even a democracy. So these same people that are screaming at us, we're saving democracy by electing a Muslim socialist, you'll be very surprised how quickly that can turn into a radical theocracy where your hot girl for Mamdani t-shirt is covered up by a mandatory burqa. Nobody wants to say that because nobody wants to get called Islamophobic, but we're losing the opportunity to even have that conversation in real time.
That was Isabel Brown. I couldn't agree more. I think she hit the nail on the head. And so we need to be concerned. We need to be praying. We need to be standing up. You know, people that are deceived by Islam. Islam is a satanic religion. It doesn't lead people to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and doesn't believe that God is Trinity, and God exists in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God in through one God in three persons. It is the devil's counterfeit, and so many people have bought into the lie of Islam. Well, we need to be very, very aware that Muslims are not they're not the enemy, they're the mission field, but that whole structure is demonic. That the religion of Islam is an enemy of the gospel. And we don't, as Elizabeth Brown said, you can't marry those two together, an Islamic mayor and the U.S. Constitution, the American way of life, those are incompatible. Well, so this idea that Democrats care about people, Republicans don't care about people, interesting. John Fetterman, the Democratic senator from Pennsylvania, he was being interviewed by Dana Bash on CNN, and she was asking him about his experiences with conservatives on the right and progressives on the left. This is what he had to say.
You said, quote, "I've drunk deeply of the venom of both the left and the right. As a connoisseur, I can confirm that the most poisonous, the bitterest, is from the far left." That is pretty remarkable to hear you say that as an elected Democrat. Why?
You know, it's just been my personal experience on this thing. And when I asked my digital team, I said, you know, we're on all the platforms. You know, really, what's kind of the harshest? What's kind of the most personal? And the answer was immediate. He said, oh, blue sky. It's blue sky. And the difference is, I mean, the right would say really rough things and names. You know, some names I won't repeat on TV, but on the left, it was like they want me to die, or that we're cheering for your next stroke, or that's terrible, that depression won. Why couldn't it depression won? And I hope your kids find you. They even have like the graphic, a GIF where they have like a stroke, you know, in your head,
oh my gosh,
cheering at that. Yeah, and they said that. I remember one, they claimed, oh, the doctor let us down, and why did they have to save his life? Just really, like, I just can't imagine. People are wishing, you know, I wish he dies, or I want him to die, you know, literally cheering for a stroke. And I don't know what the kind of a place where that comes from. I mean, that's much different than just calling me a name, that's really been consistent, you know, in that community online.
Okay, that's John Fetterman, Senator John Fetterman, a Democrat. Now, he broke with Chuck Schumer. He voted to end the shutdown. He was very vocal about it, and he was going to put people over party. And he, by saying that, he was saying to his fellow Democratic senators. You're putting party over people. And it really blows the argument of Anna Navarro that it's the Democrats who care for people. And here's the thing. So as Fetterman said, you know, the vilest things that are said about him, people wanting him dead, it's not coming from the right. It's coming from the left. And what did we see with Charlie Kirk? We saw people, putting, their fingers to their throat in the form of a gun and shooting it and all the things, the celebrations that took place after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. It's just sickening. But here's my take on that. You have people, so many people on the left, they're godless. There's just no other way to say it. And they put their faith and trust in government. And why in the world would you put your faith and trust in government? They're not trusting God. They're trusting government. That's why they will sit and scream when President Trump beat Hillary Clinton. They just couldn't. The world is over. And Rosie O'Donnell, I'm moving out of the country and going to Ireland. And you know, all these, they're just so distressed and forlorn, and life is over for me because Donald Trump is now the president. You know, when Trump lost in 2020, however that came about, it seems pretty fishy to me that Joe Biden got so many more millions of votes than anybody else has ever gotten, but we'll save that for another program. But, you know, I looked at it and thought, man, this is pitiful. Was it a happy day, you know, when we got the result that Joe Biden somehow, miraculously had this huge increase in the middle of the night in his votes? No. But my trust is not in Donald Trump. It's not in the United States government. It's in God. And so we know that where man rules, God overrules, and the Lord is over all. And so that's the biggest difference with, and not every Republican is a Christian, not by any stretch of the imagination, but many Christians are, they're either Republican or they're independent. I think it's pretty hard to make the case that you could be a Bible-believing Christian and you're going to support candidates who are pro-abortion and pro-homosexual and pro the mutilation of children and for open borders and for lawlessness and for the perpetrator of crimes. Let's get them out of prison. You know, Zoran Mandami, the socialist. We need to defund the police and do away with the police, as he has been quoted as saying. That is just lunacy. And I shared with you before, John MacArthur, who's in heaven now, he said, you know, the platform of the Democrats is straight out of Romans chapter 1. It's the sins of Romans 1. You read Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. That's the end of the chapter. And you see all the things that that the world, they reject God, they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever, and they embrace sexual immorality, they embrace homosexuality, and then they're given over to a reprobate mind, a depraved mind, a mind that no longer functions. And we have that, and we see that. These people that have a depraved mind, a mind that no longer functions, a mind where educated people are actually arguing for biological males to play in female sports, to use female bathrooms and locker rooms, and act like, well, if you don't see it the way we do, you are a homophobe, a transphobe, whatever kind of phobe you are. And I saw Bill Maher, and Bill Maher is a progressive. He's a liberal. But he hasn't lost his mind yet. And he said, you know, it's kind of like saying, well, if 2 + 2 now equals 5, and if you don't see it as equaling 5, you're a racist. And he said, you know, I'm not a racist. 2 + 2 = 4. What I see is that you are bad at math, and you can't see what is obvious to all of us. So understanding love would be of great benefit to all of us, but especially to those on the left. You know, they have that their slogan, love is love, and that is to promote homosexual marriage. How dare you say that two men can't get married or two women can't get married? Love is love. And if you really understood love, and if you guys on the right really cared about people and you really loved people, then you'd be all for that. Well, no, you wouldn't. The chapter in the Bible that tells us the most about love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, it's sandwiched in a discussion on spiritual gifts. And how do we, God gives spiritual gifts to benefit the church, and they were turning their spiritual gifts into weapons of contention. And that's not why God gave the spiritual gifts, especially with the sign gifts, because the sign gifts were more special in the minds of the Corinthians. Oh, I speak in tongues, and I have this gift and that gift, and you just have this lowly gift of serving. That's just so sad for you. And everybody was trying to get the sign gift of speaking in tongues. And the Bible says, all do not speak in tongues, do they? Tongues are for a sign, not to believers, but to unbelievers. That's how they were used in Acts chapter 2. It was a sign to the unbelievers that God is giving people the ability to speak in known languages. And as they said, they heard these the sounds coming, and they heard the voice, and they said, we hear these people in our own native tongue speaking of the greatness of God and of the glory of God. That got their attention. They said, what does this mean? And then that's opened the door for Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost. And then after they heard that sermon, they said, sirs, what must we do? And they said, repent and be baptized, or believe in Jesus and be baptized. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says this, really, really important. Verse 6, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Real love can never rejoice in unrighteousness. God is love. God doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. So homosexuality is a sin against God. You can't rejoice in that. I can't go to a homosexual wedding and celebrate with a happy couple because what they're doing is an abomination to God. I can't support a guy living with his girlfriend and say, well, I'm going to pat you on the back. I just hope you have a great relationship. No, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And if we will look at that, just that one verse, and evaluate everything that comes our way, saying, what does love really say? You know, love always speaks the truth. Love rejoices with the truth. Love can't rejoice in a lie. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. It's always a blessing to get to hear from the listeners. So give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the end of the shutdown and who were the winners, who were the losers. And obviously, the losers were the Democrats in this game of chicken. You know, who's going to blink first? The ultimate losers were the American people, and especially those that work for the government that were not getting paid. They were pawns in this game of chicken, and I didn't understand why the Democrats would not sign a continuing resolution. I mean, the shutdown didn't need to last a day if they would have just signed that and said, okay, we'll continue to negotiate. But it's as Barack Obama has famously said, elections have consequences. They don't like the big, beautiful bill. They don't like what Trump has proposed, what's been voted on, what's been passed. and now they're trying to undo that, but you can't do that. And, you know, who knows what will happen in our country if there's going to be a shift back in the midterm elections, back to the Democrats. If so, I mean, I just think that that's going to be disastrous, totally disastrous for America, because I personally don't think, as I would take issue with Anna Navarro, who said to Scott Jennings that the Democrats are for the people, they care about the people, and the Republicans are about the money, and they care about big business, and they care about the billionaires, you know, that whole scenario. But in my opinion, and it's not true for probably every Republican, but you can't be voting for what is good for me. You have to vote what is good for the country and what is good for the masses, not what is good for this splinter group, and then what matches up with what is true. Now, Trump ran under the banner of law and order. Well, does that match up with Scripture? Of course it does. God is for order. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. He is, Romans chapter 13, he is the one who set up government. What does government exist to do? To make things safe for the people, to punish evildoers, and to provide a society where evildoers are going to be held accountable, and law-abiding citizens can live their lives without fear of being mugged, raped, brutalized, assaulted, killed. And that's what Trump is trying to do. Washington, D.C., and Chicago, and some of these bigger cities that are just overrun with crime. If you're overrun with crime and you protect the perpetrators and not the victims, well, guess what? You can't take the moral high ground that says you care about people. You obviously don't. Because if you cared about people, you wouldn't want these inner cities to be just cesspools of drugs and crime and homelessness and all the things that we see taking place. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. And I want to tell you, I so appreciate this program. And one of the reasons, because you base it on Scripture. That's what I love. And but this morning, I was so glad you talked about John Fetterman, because three of us gathered together to pray for the nation every Wednesday, and we prayed for consciences for the House and the Senate, that they would pay attention to our conscience. To me, John Fetterman was a picture of that. And the fact of, how do I want to say this? I just want to go back to, it's important how we pray, and you confirmed, thank you, sir, you confirmed our prayers, and I'm telling you, I was just like, and that's why I called. I thought, you know, we need to pray for their consciences, Democrat mm-hmm. and Republican. Yeah. And, you know, and the other thing, sir, is thank you very much for basing the things that you share with us on the Scripture.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you, Linda. I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate you gathering with some other ladies to pray on, you said every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday we pray from 10 to 12, and we usually go over time. We start with worship. That's mm-hmm. we just worship the Lord, and then we pray, and then we end with worship. So
that is awesome. You know, that's a good blueprint for other listeners to say, hey, you know, especially if you don't have little kids in the house, little kids, you know, if you're a working mom or a stay-at-home mom, it's very, very difficult to do much of that. But if your kids are out of the house and you're at that stage in life where maybe life is not quite as crammed full of all these pressing things, to get together with other ladies and to say, we're going to pray for our country and come to my house, and, you know, we can have lunch every Wednesday or whatever it might be, or we just have coffee together, but we're going to worship the Lord and we're going to pray. And I think that is great, Linda. So hats off to you and to the other people in your group that are doing that, because we need that. That is the key, that people would, their eyes would be open to truth, their consciences would be softened, their hearts would be softened so that they could see. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that, you know, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so we need to pray for blind eyes to be opened, and for people who are so deceived that God would convict their hearts and help them to see exactly what the true score is. So God bless you, and thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, brother. I just want to let you know, first off, I don't take offense as a prior drunken sailor to the comment. However, praise God, I'm not anymore. I have retired, so I'm not a sailor either. But I do agree that if I spent like the government spends, I would be in much, much dire distress.
Yes.
And I agree with you, and I think that the biggest losers in the whole gambit were the people. And it's not the people that have a biblical understanding of principled, I take care of myself, I take care of my family, I take care of my community, the ecclesia is there for that. It's those that have come to rely on what I would say is soft socialism, which is the government's going to support me because all these people are paying and I deserve it. That's my comment, brother. I think that we've got to get back to churches being more active in educating their parishioners on what biblical citizenship is. I'll let you go with that.
Yeah, that's very good, Jerry. I totally agree. You know, the schools are not doing a good job, obviously, in teaching our children about American history. And it's all revisionist history. And I remember it was David Barton that wrote an article once, and he was talking about, he was critiquing this liberal historian's article. And the guy, when he made all these outlandish claims, this liberal historian, and then he actually said, due to time or space, we're going to forego the footnotes in this article. Well, he couldn't footnote anything because he was making it up. You know, David Barton and my good friend Bill Federer, those are historians extraordinaire. They always footnote to death what they're doing because they're giving you source material. This is what the founding fathers said. And this liberal historian was just making the stuff up and then just kind of flippantly said, well, I'm going to forego the footnotes concerning this article. There are no footnotes because this isn't rooted in historical fact. So we need to get back to how our country was founded and the principles that made America great. And for those that say America was never great, I like what Tom Askell said yesterday. He said, you know, great compared to what? Compared to heaven? Compared to some, utopia that doesn't exist on earth compared to the Garden of Eden before the fall? Well, yeah, it's not that. But compared to, let's compare it to North Korea. Let's compare it to Venezuela. Let's compare it to lots of other countries. And see, you know, if you do any traveling outside the United States of America, as I have with mission trips, going to China, going to the Philippines, going to Kenya, you know, you're not there very long before you miss America and you realize how great we have it in America. As Dorothy said, there's no place like home. And so we need to be thankful and grateful for what we have here in the United States of America, imperfect as it is. As Charlie Kirk was debating somebody on college campus, and the guy said, I hate America. And he said, well, great, you hate America. Do you want to leave America? No. Okay, that shows you the greatness of America, where even those who say they hate it don't want to leave. So, touche for Charlie Kirk. Well, we have Greg on the line from Montana. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff. I'll try to make this quick. I'm on the road. I could lose you. I've been under four different pastors. The last two don't believe in the rapture. They follow Dr. Michael Brown. The second one, he was a mid-tribber, and the very first pastor I had, his motto was, when he comes, I go. And I'm just wondering, should I be looking for a different church, or is this a critical teaching?
Yeah, great question, Greg. I think that's subjective. To different ones would probably give you different answers. It depends. I personally would have trouble with somebody's eschatology being so far removed from mine, because they're going to interpret things in a different light. And a lot of those guys, Reformed theology tends to be almost exclusively amillennial. Not everyone. John MacArthur was, he called himself a leaky dispensationalist, but he believed in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. He believed in a millennial kingdom, and the Lord would come back, just as it's laid out in the book of Revelation. That's how he believed it. That's how I believed it. And so I think in a church that is amillennial, or has some different ideas, you know, we can disagree on the timing of the rapture, perhaps. Some would say, well, it's a mid-tribulation rapture, not a pre-tribulation. The post-tribulation rapturists, I don't think that position holds any water. But the idea that you don't believe that there's going to be a literal kingdom, that ends up changing your view of Israel and the promises in the Old Testament. And so that would be an issue for me. But, you know, I would just encourage you this way, Greg, just really bring that to the Lord and say, you know, maybe it's, hey, Lord, I love a lot of things about this church. I love a lot of things about this pastor. He and I don't see eye to eye on eschatology. You know, eschatology is not really a deal. It shouldn't be a deal breaker. And so with my Calvinistic friends, you know, for me, Calvinism is not a deal breaker for fellowship. I don't know if I would personally want to go to a Calvinistic church that was that made that, you know, a big tenet that's going to be like lead foot at the church, and that made amillennialism a major lead foot of the church. That would be difficult for me. But if it's just that's that guy's personal views, but they don't necessarily just dominate everything in his preaching, then I'd probably be okay with that. So the church you're attending now, Greg, is that a dominant view that comes across in sermons?
No, they don't even touch on it. They avoid it. Adamantly they avoid it. And whenever you bring up a question about it, they won't talk about it even in a private conversation. So, yeah. And a lot of believers there that do believe in a rapture, they're kind of just taken back when they find out the pastor doesn't believe in the rapture. So, no, he doesn't press the issue.
Yeah. So I just really pray through that. Just say, and here's a great thing to pray. So you just say, Lord, and when you have decisions to make, Lord, I'm not sure whether to stay or go. I'm not sure whether to take this job, move to this city, or stay where I am, or whatever it might be, whatever the decision. And but right. Just say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to stay. I'm willing to go. I just leave the decision with you, and I pray that you would show me and place it on my heart so that that you would guide me in your will. Now, God will guide you, Greg, with his peace or his lack of peace. So the Bible says in Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And that rule is to rule like an umpire. He calls it fair. He calls it foul. And if you have a peace of about staying, then I would receive that as from the Lord. If you don't have a peace about staying, I would say, well, that's probably the Lord indicating to you that you need to find another place. But God bless you, Greg. Thanks for calling in. That's a great question. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. If you have a question and didn't get to ask it, you can reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.